Recording live from the Northeast Georgia Business Radio X Studio. This is Northeast Georgia Business Radio presented by Regions Bank. Embrace the FN life. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. Welcome back. Welcome back, folks, to another exciting edition of Northeast Georgia Business Radio. I'm your host, Tom Sheldon, and yeah, we're coming to you live from the beautiful Empower College and Career Center of Jackson County. I have with me a very impressive guest today. Getting to know her a little bit beforehand, I have with me today Michael James, the law office of Michael James. Welcome to the Northeast Studio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You are the Michael James.
I am the Michael James.
Of the law office of, I'm betting it's your law office.
It is my law office.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You enjoying it?
I am. I opened in officially November of 2023.
The end of last year.
Yes. It's been a whirlwind.
I bet. I bet it has. Estates?
Yes.
Trusts, wills?
I do estate planning, which encompasses wills and trusts, powers of attorney, healthcare directives. It also encompasses more complex planning, like asset protection trusts for individuals applying for Medicaid. I'm a VA certified attorney, which means that I can actually help veterans apply for veterans benefits.
Oh, nice.
And I do a lot of business planning, so corporate transactional work.
Business planning, protecting all those involved kind of stuff?
On a 10,000 foot view, yes. More specifically, it's helping people incorporate, helping them keep their corporate books up to date. If they require any sort of buy-sell agreements, merger transactions.
That's you.
That's me.
You're all over it.
I am.
Now, you're a product of the University of Georgia, are you not?
I am. I'm a double dog.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Because you went to law school.
I did. I went to law school. I started undergrad, graduated in, I think it was 2016. That sounds right.
You're not that old to forget.
You're correct. I'm not that old to forget, and yet the years have runneth over, it feels.
Michael, I have bad news for you. It gets worse as you go. If you think it's a whirlwind now, give it another 20 years, and you'll be a week away from turning 50 saying, how did that happen? Not that I would know anything about that. Just saying. Yeah, I know.
What is the saying? The days are long and the years are short, and it certainly feels that way.
Yes.
I graduated, and I'd initially thought that I was going to be a translator, and
really?
I considered moving abroad. Yeah, so I speak Spanish and Portuguese. I was preparing to basically get a translator's license, and I wasn't sure if I was going to do it in a legal setting or if I was going to do it in more of like a corporate business setting and help basically translate with contracts.
How hard is it to get that? A translator's, did you say license?
Yeah, so it's a series of tests, actually. So you're going to have different certifications for whatever translation work that you're doing. So if you do medical translation, you have to take a test for that.
Really?
If you're doing like legal translation, there's a test for that. I was looking at basically an all-encompassing test that has tiers. So if you pass one version of it, then you just go into the harder version. And what they do is they have a written portion, and this was nigh a decade ago, so I'm sure things have changed manner.
Yeah, you know it has, yeah.
But at the time, there was a written portion, and then there was a phone call. So I had to do a phone call where I would speak in different verb tenses to basically prove that, yes, I have at least some understanding of this language.
Wow.
to pass the preliminary checks and then go on to show more of a mastery. And while I was considering doing that, I applied for law school on a whim, applied UGA early decision and got accepted, went to law school, did do some student prosecution. At the time I worked in Rockdale County at the DA's office, absolutely loved it there, realized that my passion for the law really extended to having interpersonal relationships with clients. Mm-hmm. And you get that to a certain degree doing criminal prosecution because you're working with victims,
right.
But you're still a bad guy in somebody's eyes, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because
there's two sides of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'd seen that on the flip side, because in law school, I wanted to do both, right? I wanted to see what a prosecutor would do, and I wanted to see what a defense attorney do. So I also did the capital assistance project in law school. So assisting with defending people that were convicted of capital crimes and working through appeals processes. Liked that work, but didn't like the fact that I kind of felt like I wasn't winning. I feel like anyone that's a lawyer is probably type A.
A little competitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Prosecutor's office, I felt like I was winning. I would go in once a week. I would do show cause hearings. I would successfully show cause on almost everything. I liked the winning element, but I really wanted that personal relationship with the client. And that's why I made the decision to look into elder law, which encompasses estate planning, estate administration, so helping a family run through the administration of a loved one's estate after they pass away, helping with special needs clients, either the planning portion of it, so do we need to create a trust, or assisting those individuals with more emergent planning. So if grandma needs a guardianship or conservatorship because she's unable to make decisions for herself anymore,
right.
Or if, God forbid, a minor child has gotten into some sort of an accident and has an insurance payout, well, now somebody's got to get qualified as a conservator for that child to ensure that the money's being managed for their benefit.
That sounds deep.
It is a lot of fun.
Is it really?
It is. So
stuff like that, especially the conservator part, that stuff scares me. I don't want anyone to be taken advantage of.
No. Well, and Georgia has such great laws that protect.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So
obviously, I've never been involved with it directly, so I didn't know that.
I am a huge fan of the probate code. I really, truly think that our legislators in our state are here to improve the law and not necessarily push a bipartisan agenda, at least when it comes to the probate code.
Right.
I mean, Title 53, I have my claws in that all day, every day, working through it to make sure that, one, I'm following what the law says when I file a petition for a client, or when I'm helping walk someone through, you know, what do we do when it comes to selling the house from this person's estate or making distributions from the estate. I want to make sure that we're following the law. I think that at least since I started practicing in 2019, the law has only become more clear when it comes to estate needs.
That's good.
Yes.
Now, is that a long, drawn-out process? Is it a pretty quick process? Are you looking at months of working on something or days?
You're looking at months to years.
Really?
So I can.
It is a process.
Yeah. So generally, if we have somebody that's passed away and I'm helping with an estate, mm-hmm. or if we have a guardianship or conservatorship come in and somebody's saying, hey, I need to figure out if this qualifies for guardianship or conservatorship, what do we do moving forward to make sure we're taking care of my loved one or whomever it is that you're filing this action for? It's generally a week from meeting that I have the documents prepared to then go over with the client. Once that's filed with the court, in the case of a guardianship or conservatorship, it takes 45 to 60 days. A guardianship and conservatorship action is going to take anywhere from 45 to 60 days. Sometimes it takes longer during COVID. I mean, we had petitions that would sit for over 100 days.
Yeah, nightmare.
And then once that is filed and you have your final hearing with the court, well, with a guardianship and conservatorship, that's a lifelong commitment to your ward unless they, by some miracle, become with capacity again. In the case of an estate, you're looking at, once that petition is filed, taking anywhere from 40 to 100 days to get processed by the court. And then you've got probably a year's worth of administrative work.
Wow.
Because, I mean, if the estate has a house, you have to sell the house, or you have to figure out, are the heirs or beneficiaries going to want to receive that distribution in kind, meaning you just deed the house to them. If there's liquid accounts, we have to deal with that. If you've got retirement benefits and there's not a beneficiary listed on it, well, we have to figure out, how are we going to pull those retirement benefits from the decedent's account and get that transferred in a way that's maximizing tax benefits for the recipient of those funds. And again, following state and federal law.
Of course.
There's a lot of moving parts, and I like to involve,
sounds like it.
I like to involve other professionals when it comes to working on long-term cases like that. So a financial advisor, a tax professional, me, oftentimes we'll deal with situations where if it's an estate, I'm involving somebody to come in and help clean up the house. There's a lot that goes into it, and I'm really there to help guide the person through that process.
Isn't time of the essence, though, with all that?
Time is of the essence. So yeah. Last time I checked the statute, you have 6 months to file the will with the court, mm-hmm. either not for probate
after
or for probate.
After death?
Yes.
Legal death.
Yes. But you also have cases where, you know, there's been an assumed passing of an individual, but we don't have proof of what caused that passing. And so then you're waiting on the coroner's office, or in some cases the GBI, to render a decision for cause of death.
Right.
And then, you know, you run into a situation, which I've had multiple times, where you have to file basically a conservatorship for a missing person.
Right.
And then wait for the court to receive that death certificate from either the coroner's office or the Georgia Bureau of Investigation.
A decision's finally made.
Yes. And then you can move forward with filing your administration petition.
Sounds like a process. And I know it is.
Yes.
Wow. It's a lot to keep up on. It's a good thing you're super intelligent.
I appreciate
you
saying
that. I'm just saying. You mentioned, this is going to be the perfect segue, Michael. You mentioned partners. You have a sphere of influence working with you.
Yes.
Here at Northeast Georgia Business Radio X, we also have great community partners. One of our community partners is Busy Bee Exterminators. Now, Busy Bee is a leading termite and pest control company that has been serving Georgia since 1972, longer than I've been alive. Family owned and locally operated, Busy Bee is proud of its solid reputation and most extensive guarantees available in the industry. They offer free inspections and evaluations to all potential customers, both residential and commercial. Visit BusyBeeExterminators.com for all the details. That's Busy, B-E-E, Exterminators.com. And while you're at it, visit our new website, NEGABRX.com, to see all our great community partners. Michael, you still with me?
Yes.
Awesome. What were we talking about? We were talking about trusts and wills.
Yes.
And hunting people down. Someone passes and there is an estate and things have to be sold or divided up, however that works. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Do you have to go and find potential people who have a right to property or something? Do you have to search people out?
For the most part, the client that I'm working with has an understanding of who the family members are and who the
they've
the
named them.
Yes. Yes. They're named or... So when I say their name, they're named in the will and they know who those people are.
Right.
Or it's, you know, a close family member saying, hey, mom has passed away. And then I walk them through the process of looking at the statute and then saying comparatively, let's look at who the heirs are. And then right. I can report that to the court. There have been certain situations where I've not known who all the heirs are. And you might have to do an heir determination with the court or you might have to do some more research, which really is just Google sleuthing.
Really?
Yes.
Legalized stalking, for yes. lack of a better term.
Yes, I have social media stalked people before if I've suspected that they are an heir and then actually reached out to them.
Really?
With client permission, of course,
to
confirm what that relationship is.
Because you're working with, your clients are everyday people.
Yes.
Your client's not the government.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, I do court-appointed work. So I right. do court-appointed attorney work in Jackson and Oconee and Clark counties. And what that means is I'm advocating for basically the respondent to like a guardianship or conservatorship action. Or if you have a minor child that's an heir or beneficiary of an estate, then I could be appointed as that person's guardian ad litem, which is a neutral advocate for a party. And I do guardian ad litem work as well.
Gotcha. That might hit home a little bit, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
The guardianship?
Yes. Well, so I had not a complete guardianship, but I did have temporary custody of my sister mm-hmm. when she was a minor, and she lived with me over the summer 1 year before she went to university. And then now that she's moved back down to Georgia and is starting at UGA, we've decided to formalize our relationship by filing an adult petition for adoption.
For adoption?
Yes. So an adult adoption.
For you, I know that's big.
Yes.
Very important.
It is. It's important for us to be able to formalize that relationship.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And she'll be living with you, I guess.
She's been
here
living
in the great state of Georgia.
She's been living with me for, oh gosh, I think we're like 2 months shy of a year at this point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. So I will hopefully by July be formally considered a mother of two.
Quite an age span between the two. But
yes.
I'm kidding. But there is.
Yeah.
That's all right. You're smiling. Folks, she's smiling big. Are we going to have a party when it's all formalized?
Sure, we can have a party, Tom.
Nice. I always want to have a party.
We'll say part of me is smiling because I'm really excited for this big life event, but also because I don't have to update my will.
Wow, a lazy attorney. No, I'm kidding. You are anything but lazy. Now, you do virtual meeting with people.
Yes.
You don't have to have them come into your office all the time.
Correct.
I imagine eventually you have to, no?
I'm working on brick and mortar right now. When I initially opened my firm, I really wanted to continue working with my client base that I offered house calls to. As my work has grown and my corporate book of clients have grown, I've started doing a lot more virtual appointments, which is great because I do it in front of my 400-gallon saltwater tank at home, so clients get to see my fish.
That is cool.
I get a lot of requests. Can you show us Bandit the Shark? And I say, yes, I can.
Wow. You have like a mascot. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's smart. Your youngest child is a baby still, correct?
He will be two in September.
That's got to help out a mom of a two-year-old be able to work from home a little bit, do virtual.
Yes.
Oh, boy, that's got
to
help.
It is great. I went to a continuing legal education workshop at the beginning of the year, and almost all the other solo practitioners that I ran into were parents, and there are a couple of interactions that I had with some moms there where they said, oh, yeah, I've had to close deals before when my kid is hitting me with a toy board. And I kid you not, I have had to sit in Medicaid appeals hearings with my son in the background, and I'll give him a legal pad so he can act as my secretary.
Nice. Smart.
And he's generally pretty calm for the first hour and a half. And then if he starts to become irate, I have to address that.
That is a long time for a little guy to stay calm.
Yes.
Wow.
That is not the norm. I think that's happened to me exactly once. And it was in a pinch. And I said, I have to do this for the client. I have to be there.
You had to be there. You had to play both roles at once. I could see that.
And we had a successful outcome.
Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah, I was. I told the client, I said, I don't know if they're going to allow the appeal during the hearing, and they did. I thought we were going to have to wait for sure for an order to come down after the fact. But yeah, everything got wrapped up in a bow while we were on the phone.
Wow. Right then and there.
Right then and there.
Now, you work the Piedmont area, more or less?
Yes.
Athens to Winder to where?
So I'll drive down to Duluth, and I'll drive up as far as Hart County.
Really, up to Hart. Mm-hmm. Basically, the South Carolina line.
Yes.
Law licenses, those are state-driven, right?
Law licenses are state-driven. So
you
practice
in Georgia.
I am barred in the state of Georgia. I practice in the state of Georgia.
And no other states?
No other states.
Is that in the future one day, maybe?
I've considered taking the state bar for Tennessee.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to the mountains one day, is that what you're telling us? I don't blame
Likely.
You.
Likely. I do enjoy the mountains.
You'll probably be right behind me, being I'm just a couple years older. But seriously, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you ever think the translator stuff, you ever think you'll take a run at that?
I don't know. So right now, I really just consume media that's in foreign language, and I'm not necessarily using my foreign language skills in a court setting. And that's simply because I don't think I would be doing a foreign language speaking client justice to act as a translator when I do not have that certification right now.
Right, right. Do you think you will? Maybe one day?
Perhaps.
The door's still cracked open.
The door is open. I exercise the language skills. I do not use them on a daily basis.
I got to imagine something like that, you need to do it a lot. With anything you do, the more you do it, the more up on it you are, the better you are.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're translating, I bet you don't want to be rusty.
That is completely correct.
That would probably be bad.
That is accurate.
Wow. You mentioned a saltwater aquarium.
Yes.
I didn't know it was 400 gallons.
So that's just one of my aquariums.
That's just one of them.
So we have five.
You have one in every room. Well, no, you have more than five rooms. Is that the big one? Is that the little one?
So the 400 gallon is the big one. I have sights on a 1,000 plus gallon pool.
Of course you do.
And
a pool. Wait a minute. That's not a tank.
They're considered aquarium ponds, basically.
It's a pond. It's in the ground.
Yes. You can do above ground too. Like people have above ground pools. You can have above ground aquarium that is
sitting
that size.
Sitting on the ground.
Yes. Yes.
Right. But it's like a foot knee level.
It would be higher than that. We're probably looking at like 3 feet and you would look down into it.
Wow.
But right now we are maxed out at our 400 gallon.
You got to buy a bigger house.
Or we're going to have to build an outhouse.
We're
that
putting
that
an addition on the house,
pond.
Honey.
Yeah.
That would be cool. A little walkway. Really cool. How big? I don't know what to compare it to. 1,000 gallons, how big is that roughly? It's as big as your car, if you don't drive a big car, I guess.
I would say, so I drive a Subaru Forester, and so far as footprint, you'd probably be looking at two of those stacked together, but not nearly as high.
Well, right. So two of those cars, bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
That's huge. You do have to build an addition for that. So what are you going to put in it?
What am I going to put in it?
Why not, yeah. What are you not going to put in it?
Well, we had considered putting a black tip shark in it.
Really? As you should.
Yes, but that requires permitting in the state of Georgia. There's some animals that you can't own in Georgia unless you have a permit. That is one of them.
Wow.
There's some animals that you just straight up can't own unless you're nature conservation. So no red-belly piranhas in our future.
Why would you want that?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I'm just pointing out that I could not own one.
It would be cool. Hey, I got piranhas.
Yes, it would be cool. Is it as cool as my shark or my eel that I can
you
hand feed?
Eel.
Yeah,
you
I
have an eel.
His name is Ezekiel.
Of course it is.
He's great.
How big is this eel?
He's probably 3 feet long right now. He's still a baby.
Oh, he gets bigger.
He gets bigger. All the fish in my tank will get bigger. This is my 400-gallon tank is 8 feet long and 3 feet high.
Okay.
And
it's still big.
It has basically functioned as a wall in our open concept main floor.
I can see that.
We can look straight through it. So if I'm in the kitchen and I want to watch television, I can actually watch it through my fish tank. The water is very clear. We have something called Starfire glass that is an extremely clear low iron glass that we had custom made for this tank. This tank is 100% custom.
Wow. What got you into this? This is not an odd hobby, but it is. It is, but it isn't.
So I would say that the degree that we're into the hobby is a little bit odd, right?
You are heavy into it.
We are heavily into this hobby. We started out with a 55-gallon tank that my husband had purchased when he was an undergrad for one of those dollar-a-gallon sales that you would have at a pet store.
Mm-hmm.
We had the tank forever, and over COVID, after we had really exercised all that we could on a budget for carpentry, we decided, hey, let's set this tank up. So we went to a local live fish store and set the tank up, got really into the hobby with buying fish. Our vet was getting out of the hobby and he sold us some tanks for super cheap.
Nice.
So then we set up a 35-gallon tank. And then I said, well, I really want some predators. And the predators we were looking at weren't like a puffer fish. We were talking about, I want a shark. And I want some schooling predator fish. I want an eel. Then we conceptualized the 400-gallon tank.
And yeah.
And built it.
And there it is.
Yes.
Now the eels in with the other predators?
Yes.
Really? They don't eat each other?
As long as they're well fed.
Oh, I got you. They don't think about it.
They won't think about it unless they get hungry.
Well, if they, yeah. Anything gets desperate enough, they'll eat. Yeah.
Yeah. We absolutely love it. It is great to be able to work and look at the tank. It's very zen.
Yeah, it's soothing.
Yes.
It's soothing. Is there dramatic upkeep being at saltwater?
So
compared to a regular aquarium?
We have two freshwater aquariums too. I would say we definitely do more work with a saltwater tank. We are probably scraping the glass at least a couple of times a week. There's obviously a very involved feeding process because the different fish in there eat different things.
Oh, wow.
We have corals in our non-predator tank, which is called a community tank, mm-hmm. and those have to get fed differently than what you would feed in a predator tank.
It's live coral. Of course it is.
Yes.
We've got to do a podcast just on that.
Absolutely.
Michael, that is amazing. You're also a woodworker.
Yes.
What do you not do? You do cool stuff.
I don't do website design.
No?
No.
You can pay somebody to do that. Back to business. I'm sorry. How do the folks get a hold of you?
I do have social media. I have an Instagram, a Facebook, and a LinkedIn. So people can reach out to me there. It's Michael James or the Law Office of Michael James. Depending on if you're going to Facebook or Instagram, you're going to see Law Office of Michael James. On LinkedIn, it's just my first and last name. You can reach out to me via email at michaelbaileyjames@gmail.com. I'm not going to spell that out, but I'm assuming that you will put
Michael
that
Bailey James.
You'll put that information, I'm assuming, in the description box of this episode.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get all kinds of information. They're going to love it.
Great.
Before we get out of here, you're on a few boards of directors, yes. Are you not?
Yes.
I know you want to touch on that real quick.
Yeah, yeah. So I serve on the board of directors for the YWCO Executive Committee and Member at Large and Girl Scouts of Historic Georgia, which is very near and dear to my heart, also on the Executive Committee for them. I spend a lot of time working with both of these boards and exercising my legal muscles to ensure that they are getting the best possible legal services that they can receive.
Very cool.
Obviously on a pro bono basis. Mm-hmm. And really just fulfilling my duties as a board member. And then I serve on the finance committee board for my church.
Well, if we got it all in, we'll sneak out of here. Yeah, they're going to play my music any second. And it's really loud, too. Michael, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Always welcome. You're always welcome here at the Northeast Studio. Folks, go to LinkedIn. Michael James, the Law Office of Michael James, the one, the only. I'm Tom Sheldon. We'll talk to you soon.
Life is full of ifs, but if you want to cash flow like a pro and get paid up to 2 days early, safeguard against surprises and supercharge your savings, Regions Life Banking makes it possible.
Regions Bank, embrace the if in life.
Regions Bank, member FDIC.